Okay, so we were on Chaf Hei Amud Beis. On Chaf Hei Amud Beis, well, actually, Chaf Hei Amud Aleph to Chaf Hei Amud Beis, and we were going through some of the assorted issues that appear there. Let's go back just a few lines to Chaf Hei Amud Aleph. At this point, we've seen this Gemara several times. Let's quickly run through the Gemara again. So the Gemara had said, Amar Rami Bar Abba Hefshet V'nituach Ba'ola V'uadin L'katzovim, that you need to flay and cut up the animal when it's an Ola, when it's a burnt offering. The same thing is true for a regular case of someone who shech the animal. Mikan Limda Tarajar Heret Shaliyuchal Adam Bazar Kodem Hefshet V'nituach. And this is just Derech Heret's, the right thing to do, to not eat meat before you've cut it, before you've flayed it, before you've cut it into pieces. So Gemara says, "My kamashmon." What is that teaching us? I lema meaf lafuke midir avhuna da amar avhuna behema bechaya becheskes esro medas adshivada lochaba menishkata. The nishkata becheskes hedra medas adshivada lochaba manitrafa. So if you're telling me that this is against avhuna, which at this point we've seen many times, right? That Rav Huna said that an animal, when it's alive, is presumed to be usur until you know that the shechita was good. Once you know the shechita was good, so then you don't have to assume it's a treifa unless you have reason to believe it is treifa. So as we've seen before, right, that the fact that Rav Huna implies that you can't, you have to check the animal, and here it just implies that it's a derech eretz. You don't actually have to check for trefos. It's just that it's not right to just be pulling meat out of the neck. But the Gemara says about Natanan Masin Rav Huna, but we hold like Rav Huna in a Mishnah. Natan Riki Vomer, Rav Filuk Zayis Chayim Beis Tvicha, so that you are allowed to take. So the Gemara had said that no, we have a Mishnah like Rav Huna. Natan Riki Vomer, Rav Filuk Zayis Chayim Beis Tvicha, so my love me Beis Tvicha, so mamish. Right? Doesn't that mean that you can even eat it before Hefshit? So the question is, lo mimakom shetovachas achilasam. It means that you can even eat the food from the intestines where the food is being digested. Okay, I don't know why you would do that, but fine. Vatani Rabbi makom tchichasam amish. So the question says, don't we say that you can actually take meat from the neck itself? So Ella Rami Bar Abba Orach Ara Kamash Malon. So the Gemara says, you're right. He's not telling us that it's a trafer problem. We go back to the position that the reason that you should flay the animal first is not because we're worried about trafos, but it's because it's just it's the civilized thing to do, to not just cut off the head and then start pulling out meat through the animal, to cut off the skin, and eat it like a eat it like a mensch. Yeah. Kiditanya, like the Brisa says, Yochal Adam Shum Uvatzel Mi Rosho, you shouldn't eat onions or garlic from the top. Elam Me'alav V'imochal Areize Ra'avasan. You're not supposed to eat it from the top, right? So what does that mean? Meaning, if you take you pull it out of the ground and then you just start, eating it from the bottom, right? It still has dirt dripping off of it and, leaves dragging it. No, right? You take off the leaves, you clean it off from the dirt, and then you eat it, right? You're supposed to eat like a civilized person. If you eat it that fast, right? You eat it like that, you are a ravasan, right? You are a, you're... I don't know. You are a
glutton.
There you go. Right, something like that, right? Kayotsebo, and similarly, lo yishta adam kosu v'vas achas, when you're drinking, you shouldn't drink your cup in one shot. V'mshasa reze gargaran. I mean, if you drink it all in one shot, you take a whole big cup, and we'll, you know, next week we'll see, or maybe later today, I don't know. We'll see. The Gemara gets into, the poskim get into, is that always true? Does it depend on the size of the cup, right? If you have a shot glass, right, it's meant to be drinking one cup, right? Does it, but we'll see. Okay. So one point, the first point I want to make here is in Tosfos. Tosfos makes a fascinating point. Right, he knows. Peirush Rashi, v'lav mishum miser treifa. Once you say that the only reason you have to flay the skin before you eat the animal is because of derech eretz and not because of treifa, so Joseph has a problem. What's his problem? So if you go back to the Gemara, actually we need a few more lines of the Gemara to get his problem. So he says, we continue in the Gemara. The Gemara says, Tanu Rabbana, continuing on these derech eretz statements, the Gemara says that Ashosa Kosovas Achas Areza Gargaran. If you drink your cup in one shot, so you're a drunkard, you're a guzzler, you know, whatever. Shnayim Derech Eretz, if you drink your cup in two gulps, so that's normal. Shlosha, you sip it overly slowly, Migase Ruach, that's just pretentious. Right? You know, you don't have your water, you sip, you know, it's like you're having like wine, right? You know, you like say you're sipping the taste of it, you know, it takes 10 sips on your lemonade, it's just, you know, it's just for it's just pretentious. And the Amir Rami Barabba, and then Rami Barabba says, Chatsuva, Mikatea Ragleon de Rishia. It's this grass, which its roots go straight down, right? In English, what are they translated as? A caper or something like that?
They say it's a type of grass whose roots pierce deep.
Right. So do they give it a name? They don't give it a name.
No.
Okay. So yeah, that's what it is. It's a grass, some sort of root that the roots, there's some sort of, you know, plant that the roots go straight down into to the ground. So the Gemara says it cuts off the feet of Rishayim. What does that mean? So Rashi says, Esav Shishur Shav no kvin v'yardin be'omek. It's a grass that its roots go straight down. V'ein mitbashreit litzadin. It doesn't go side to side, klal at all. V'notin ato ben gvulei sados. And they use it, therefore, to plant as borders, right, between fields. V'otecham Yoshua Yisrael es ha'aretz. And Yoshua used them to mark the borders in Israel. B'katei ragle ha'rishoyim li'yom adin she'gozun l'chomsun masikin gvul v'ein l'meidin mimenu. So it eventually in heaven it will come to judgment against Rishayim, because what is it going to say? Look, these plants could manage to stay on their own property. You can too. Right? You didn't learn the lesson from the plant. Alternatively, you could have a much more down-to-earth one, which is simply, right, it prevents Rishayim from stealing. Right? It actually marks the land so everyone knows when they steal, whichever way it is. Nitiya mikatea raglehon de katzvaya de bole nidos. The way Rashi understands this, nitiya is arla. The fact that when you plant a tree, you have to wait 3 years until you're allowed to benefit at all, and then the fourth year you have to bring in Jerusalem, it's neta ravai. So Rashi says, Natiyas Arla Shamratar Lahamtin Shaloshanim Milachol Peros. The fact that you're not allowed to eat fruit for the first 3 years, Mekate Ragle Hakatsavim, Hamimaram Lechol Kodem Hefshed Vinituach. It is critical of the people who eat meat and do it so fast that they pull the meat out of the neck. And sometimes it's found that it's not kosher, that there's a treifa, and they would have noticed it if they cut it. And the same someone who sleeps with a nida. They can't wait until the woman goes to the mikvah. The Gemara has other examples, but let's focus on that one for a moment. Now Tosfos notes something very odd. On the one hand, the Gemara paskins lahalacha that we're not worried about treifa, right? That really the only reason that it's a problem for you to eat meat while it's, you know, just before you flay the animal, before you've cut it into pieces, before you've checked for treifos, it's not because we're worried about treifa. It's totally mutter from that perspective. It's just not menschlich. So then, how can the Gemara 5 lines later say that arla, meaning the notion that you're supposed to be patient, will force the Rishayim who eat the meat without flaying it to task, because God will say you should have waited, because if you'd waited until you flay the animal and cut it, you would have found the treifa. So Tosfos said, it's a contradiction. You just said that you don't have to wait. That from a kashrus perspective, we're not worried that there's any trefos. We're not worried that there's a prick in the stomach. Right? We're not worried about that at all. And then a five lines later, you say, but if the guy does eat it before flaying the animal, and it turns out it's a trefos, so God's going to hold him to task because he wasn't patient enough. Which is it? Right? Is this a patience problem or a kashrus problem?
One could be roughly now, one is not roughly now.
Right, so you could say it's a machlokas, right? It's a machlokas from before in the Gemara. But Tosfos says something, right, more radical. And Tosfos says, Tema. Doesn't it sound like it's prohibited? So he says, V'yesh lomar. I also put it on the source sheet, but whatever, it's the same thing. You're right. Once you shechted it, it's not, there's no kashrus problem because there's a chazaka. You're presumed mutter. Mihu im nimtzeis treifa. But if it turns out it is a treifa, la'acha she'achal, after you eat it, hu nenash kishogig v'loka ones, shloha yelola mayer kol kach. Still, you have to bring a karban, right? He's a shogig. Not an onus. So Tosfos says something radical. Right? Tosfos said, Me'ikra adin is permitted for you to eat it.
So is that true? That if somebody has, something has a chazaka, and then you make then you find out then you're high? That's what we're
talking about. So this is what I want to do, right? This position of Tosfos is quite radical. What is Tosfos saying? So what the Acharonim note is that what Tosfos is saying seems to be like as follows. Or Lesaber Ozen, right? The Acharonim say different parts of it. I'll put it in a slightly different perspective. Right, we have three main categories of sin. Right, we have intentional sin, we have accidental sin, and then we have totally onus, right? Either coerced or total accident, and then we have like middle positions, right? Karov lemezid, karov leonus, right? Middles, but basically three categories. Why is it that an accidental sin? One step back. If one violates an intentional sin with witnesses and all of that, so then he's punished. If it's a capital offense, he gets killed. If it's a regular offense, he gets malchus. If it's a lafshein b'masa, so there's no punishment. But in this world, fine. If someone does something ba'ones, there's no punishment at all, right? Someone holds a gun to your head and says eat treif, nothing happens, right? You trip on Shabbos, you fall into a light switch. That's not really ones. That's really a fourth category, misasik, right? Which is you weren't even doing anything. But fine, right? You weren't doing anything. You fall into the light. No punishment at all. It doesn't count. Right? So really, ones misasik. I'm not going to draw distinctions for the moment. Shogeg is an accident where I don't get punished with malchus, but if the sin that I violated is one of the Yisurei Kares, or one of the Chiyuvim Eses Bezdin, I violated Shabbos by accident. I forgot it was Shabbos, and I turned on a light. I forgot that this. I didn't know this was chaylev. I didn't know it was forbidden fats, but it was forbidden fats. So then it's shogeg, and you bring a karban. So the Rishonim ask, why do you bring a karban? Right? What is wrong with doing a sin by accident? I understand you do something intentionally. You rebelled against God. You do something by ones, meaning an unavoidable accident, coercion. You don't get punished at all. But why is it that when you do something by accident, if the sin is of enough gravity, that you bring a karban? So there's basically two positions that are in Rishonim. Right? The Ramban, in Teres Adam, in one of his answers, and Al HaTorah, in the beginning of Vayikra, says, when you do a sin by accident, you didn't do anything wrong in terms of personal culpability. Right? You're not a bad person. You didn't do anything wrong. Elamai, there's a metaphysical reality to sin, right? If you eat chaylev, so your soul is, is tainted. So God, in His infinite grace, gave you a karban that will be your metaphysical cure, right? Meaning, you're right. In terms of, I ask you, are you a bad person in any way, shape, or form? The answer is no. He says, afal pi sheratzu yashemu. He's totally beloved by God. He didn't do anything. It was an accident. So why does an ones not need it? So then the Acharon get into all types of fancy things, that maybe when something's a total unavoidable accident, so we dissociate the act from the person, so it's as if he didn't eat it. Well, eating is a bad example, because ain't misasik b'chalom barayos, but let's say Shabbos, right? If it was total onus, someone held a gun to your head, and you violated Shabbos, so you don't need kapara, it's dissociated from you, you know, you fell into it, and it was misasik, you just didn't do the act, right? Nothing happened, because it wasn't you, you were an object, not a subject. The Rambam, and the other day in the Ramban, say no. The Rambam says it's very sort of straightforward. When you do something with mazed, so you get punished because you rebelled against God. When you violate a sin by accident, you're punished because you were flippant. Right? It shows you didn't care. Right? You weren't vindictive. You weren't out to get God. But you also didn't care enough. So he says in Hiloshkagos Parakei Alachavav, Rilochonsin likes to point this out a lot. Right? That the Rambam says in the context of Nida, right, he says that if a woman becomes a Nida at the wrong time, right? It's a fluke. And she becomes a Nida while she's with her husband. So then the Rambam says it's an onus. Right? Because what was he supposed to do, right? At, you know, people, husband and wife are together, and people, you know, sometimes flukes happen. But if it happens at the time when she expects her period, so even though she wasn't a Nida before they were together, he is chayev. Why? The Rambam says, because ilu badag yafe yafe. If he'd been checked, he'd been careful, he would have known. So Lichtenstein noted that what the Rambam is saying is the reason you get punished by shogeg is not because you aren't culpable, you are culpable. You're culpable for your flippance, right? It shows you just didn't care enough. So now with that in mind, you come back to this. And the Acharonim know, what is Tosfos saying? It's true. Formally, technically, from a kosher's perspective, you're allowed to rely on the chazaka, and you're allowed to say, the meat doesn't have isn't treif, it's probably not treif, I'm allowed to eat it. But are you onus or shogeg? So, can you really say you're onus? Because what does onus mean? I'm in no way culpable for what happened. But that's not true. It is true that from a kosher's perspective, I don't have to check it. But Derech Eretz dictates that I'm not supposed to be an uncivilized brute and start pulling meat out of the neck. Which means that even though from a kosher's perspective I have the right to do this, I shouldn't be doing it. And the second I shouldn't be doing it, you can't say it's unavoidable. It was avoidable. You're supposed to be a mensch. And if you'd been a mensch, you would have found the kosher's problem, even though you didn't, from a kosher's perspective, again, you didn't have to check for it. But you still acted in more haste than was warranted from a mensch. And therefore, if I have to define your act as shogeg or ones, I can't in good faith say it was an unavoidable accident, because it wasn't unavoidable. You're expected to be a mensch. And if you had just done what you're supposed to do as a mensch, so you would have noticed the trefa, because you would have shechted it, you would have shechted it, you would have flayed it, you would have cut it into pieces, and you would have seen a hole in the stomach, you would have seen a needle stuck in the stomach.
The concept of derech eretz more than just like ethical behavior.
Correct.
It's more like a siyag.
Correct. So next week, we're going to go into derech eretz. That's okay. What I made a source sheet on. But yes, what Tosfos already indicates is that it's not just like some, like, when it says derech eretz, it's
manners,
not just like
good manners.
Yeah, it's not just manner. It's, you should do this. It's not a kashrut issue. It's a, we'll see what it is. But the second, for whatever reason, you should have been more careful, even if it's external to the prohibition, still, that makes it that you can't, in good faith, say, there's nothing I could have done to avoid it. Because the answer is, yes, you could have. From a kosher perspective, you didn't have to. But as a human being, you should have. And therefore, I can't say it's unavoidable. And that's Tosfos's, you know.
So what happens if you didn't eat in haste? You did it slowly. You still didn't find the treif at that point, and you find it later.
Onus.
Okay.
So onus.
Then it's onus.
And then it would be onus, right? I mean, let's say you flayed the animal, you took the pieces, right? And I don't know why you missed a treif, whatever, right? You know, half of you were you know, you, two people were shechting it together, and one person put all his pieces in a, you know, in a box, put it in the freezer and said, you know, I'm going to deal with it later, whatever, right? And like, you know, you split it, you know, you went to a shochet, the shochet split it in half, right? Whatever, it wasn't your fault, right? You're half the animal, you looked, you checked, you didn't see anything, the other guy, right, took it, you know, whatever, come up with your situation. Then yes, Tosfos says, well, then it would be fine. Because then you would have, on a kosher's perspective, you can rely on chazaka, and from a derech eretz perspective, you did everything you were supposed to. And therefore, right, because from a kosher's perspective, you can rely on chazaka, I don't have to wait for the other guy to check all of his pieces, right? All that's left is derech eretz.
And that's not a shogeg, that's onus.
Correct. I think, according to Tosfos, be onus. But again, what Tosfos is mechadesh is that you can transform something from onus to shogeg, even if the requirement to show care is external to the issue you're being punished for, right? That's what's striking about Tosfos, right? Because he's saying at the same time, you don't, from a trefa perspective, you really don't have to check. But because you have to check for another reason, the fact that you were derelict in your menschlichkeit is enough to say that still, if something does turn up, you are at some level culpable, in the middle.
Okay, but in the process, okay, we don't have to check.
Correct.
Okay, when the people cut it up, this is just trying to understand the concept here. Do they have to be checking when they're cutting it up for a trefa?
No, right, presumably, I don't know, you know, like we check the lungs, but like when you, I'm sure at a shechita house, right, they cut it up, they strip it up, you know, they put everything on a, you know, if you see something, but they don't check everything.
So they don't have to look.
I assume so.
So they have a hefset if they actually take the time to look at that point. It's a chazaka, it's kosher. If they went and
right. Looked, now, I don't know. I'm not 100% sure they don't look. I don't know. I assume they don't, but I could be totally wrong. If someone's listening and I'm wrong, you can email me and let me know that I'm wrong. I avoided that part of smicha. Like, meaning the actual trip to the shechita house to see what they do, because I would faint. So I just didn't go. I just couldn't go. I was like, I'm not going to be shochet. I can't. I'm one of the people that al pi halacha is invalid from shechting. Right? One of the people that's invalid from shechting are people who faint when they see blood because they can't shecht right. I faint when I see blood. I faint when I think about blood. I just can't. So I don't know what they actually do, but presumably you don't actually have to check. Yeah, you have a chazak. Okay, so that's Tosfos' chiddush. Now, the poskim do bring it down. I gave you just one example, number 10 here in the Panim Eros. So Panim Eros writes as follows: Nishalti echad she'achal of ve'acher kach matzah bo echad miyud gim yurches trefos. Someone asked me, he ate a bird, he ate chicken, whatever it was, and then he found one of the trefos. Imtzarach kal paral masha'achal olo. Does he need forgiveness? Ulecha'ora. The Gemara in Nazir quotes a pasuk and says that someone who didn't know the sin and he is guilty, so he will carry his sin. And the Gemara says, what does this mean? If someone intended to eat kosher meat, and it turned out it was pig, kagon. What does that mean? For example, chaticha safik shel shuman safik shel chela. If you have a piece, right, the Gemara doesn't assume that this is a total mistake. The Gemara says it's like a case where you had a piece where you weren't sure it was kosher fat or non-kosher fat. Omar kravin asavo no v'chulei. The Torah says you're punished, ... So the Gemara in context is saying the following. Right, the Gemara brings two opposite cases. One is, if you're not sure whether something is kosher and you end up eating it, and it turns out it wasn't kosher, so you need to bring a karban, right? That's one. Which shows that the act of sin, even without the intent, is at some level sinful. Then the Gemara brings the opposite case, right? Where a woman takes a neder, violates her neder, but didn't realize that her husband had already nullified the neder. So the Gemara says, the pasuk says, Hashem yislach la, Hashem will forgive her. Which implies that she needs forgiveness. So the Gemara says, right, both sides are true. If you intend to sin, even if formally it's not a sin, right, because the woman's vow is nullified, still, the fact that she intended to sin is at some level sinful, she needs forgiveness. If someone actually sins, even though he didn't intend to, right, it was a suffix, he didn't fully intend to, he needs kapara. But from that line, the Panim Eros notes, Mikol Makom Nireh Davka Hasam Shenolat HaSafik Koltem She'achal. The Gemara seems to say that it's true. Even without full intent to sin, as long as you did the act of sin, you're punished. But the example the Gemara gives is someone who ate a piece of fat that he knew could have been kosher, could have been not kosher. And therefore, it sounds like the only reason he's guilty is because he ate the fat knowing there was a question about its kashrus. Avalim lolo l'ra safek achar sha'achal. Right? This is Howie's point. But if there was no safek, because We have a chazaka. You don't actually have to check for a treifa. So heve ones, v'ones rachmana patre. It's considered unavoidable, and you're exempt. The raya, what's the proof? Damrinu bebeitz adav chavei, or gemara, amri rabbi baraba, hefshu yiduch ba'ola, v'wadin lakatzavim, mikamlam derech eret, shalo yochal adam basar kodim hefshu v'nituach. You have to have derech eretz, and shech the meat, and then flay it and cut into pieces. The kasva tosva dimri maskal rachara. Tosva's wrote devada leke isra midin nishchata omedas becheskes heter. We already said that from a kasher's perspective, it's kosher. Milim nimtzeis treifa lachar sheyochal hu nenash keshogi vilo kaanusim shlohaya lo lemar kol kach. But if you do rush and eat it, so you need kapara because you shouldn't have rushed. And therefore, you're a shogeg, you're not an onus. It's an accident and not considered unavoidable. Shmamina de la'achar hefshin yituach hevik onus. But this is exactly how he's pointing, right? The Panamir says explicitly, therefore, if you did flay it and cut it into pieces, you just didn't notice one of the pieces of treva because you don't have any responsibility to look for it. So you're an onus. Hevik onus. Kevin de insar, livdok, achar shmona asur trefos, ve onus insar kapara. You're right. It was cut into pieces. You could have looked, but it doesn't matter. Because you fulfilled your mental kite thing, because you cut it and you flayed it, and that's fine, it's cut into pieces. And we already said, from Akasha's perspective, you have every right to rely on Chazaka, and therefore he says, Inochanami. If you find a trefa, find it to be a trefa later on, it is not shogeg, it's onus, and you don't need forgiveness at all. That is the inescapable conclusion of Tosvos. And the example is, going back to the Rambam I mentioned before, that if someone was with his wife when she's not expecting her period at all, and then you find blood, even if you find blood on the man, so you know for sure that she's a nida now, it's still, it's considered unavoidable. You don't need any forgiveness. Lohu velohi, he doesn't eat, she doesn't eat. Kavur b'sof simin kuf behei. Hachanami came in devei ones lo tzarech kapara. Right, so this is exactly what Howie said. And he says, what Tosva seems to be saying is clear. Once I shech the animal, and I flay it, and I cut it into pieces, even if I don't check it, if I then eat it, and then I find a treifa, it's fine, it's totally fine. Even, right, lechatchila shebechatchila, I don't have to check. The only thing I do have to do is be a mensch. But if the reason I didn't find it is because I was not a mensch, because I was rushing through it, so then you are culpable because there was something you could have done. And that is the position of the Panim Eros from Tosos. And I gave you in 11, the Daf al Daf, that he notes that this broader question, right, Tosvos, the Panim Eros do assume, like the Rambam, that when you violate an Avera Bishogeg, you do get spiritually punished. Right? That's the assumption of Tosos. That, as I mentioned, is the argument of the Rambam, the Panim Eros. Right? That's the whole point of Tosos. That for a shogeg, you are culpable, and for an onus, you're not. Otherwise, it would be a meaningless statement. But he notes that that's not actually obvious. And I mentioned that the Ramban seems to make this not obvious, but he notes that this is, the Achronim really play up on this, and I just gave you the summary from the Daf al-Daf. And he says, Mavur Matos was Lahedya. The Sphere Ladiash Onos Ashid Gos Lav. Tosus says explicitly that if you violate a sin by accident, meaning in the middle level, that you get punished. But you get punished. And the Chalkas Yoav notes this. Vyesh Lahar Bazeh. The lechori machlokas brura mufreshet bein harava magid vekesef mishnah, but it's really a machlokas between the magid mishnah and the kesef mishnah. The Rambam calls it, the Rambam wrote in Yisrei Bia that habal erva min harayas kemis asek afal pishen kavanasa lekach chayev, that if someone sleeps with one of the arayot kemis asek, meaning he totally didn't intend, but when it comes to illicit sexual relationships, we don't count misasek. As misasik, we move it up a level because we say in misasik v'chalav v'arayos, when you're involved in sexual acts, there is no such thing as a totally dissociated act. So Joseph says, even as the Rambam says, even though you didn't have intent for it, you're chayev. V'chein v'chayev lav v'nushnios. V'chaz of arayvit kim misasik, Amar Avram, chayev lav v'lo yodati, lama karbon einkan adkan. And the Ravid said, I'm not sure, according to this logic, right, the way the Rambam presented, why you don't bring a karban when you violate a lav. The The Rafa Magid, right? The Magid Mishnah, Achar Javi Mekor Le Divya Rambam Gemara Mdazazik B'chal Levin Barayas Chayv, after noting that the Rambam explained himself and said the Mdazazik is different Kasav, he writes, U'pasha D'cholzeh L'inyan Karban. The Rambam says that it's only for Karban that it needs to be a Chiyuv Misa or a Chiyuv Kareis. De Misa U'malkos L'shachar Mezav Asra. Mashgad B'sifrei Rabbeinu V'chayvei Lavin U'shniyas Tos. So fair, Sherechayvei Lavin Shogin Peturim Hei Miklum. But the Rambam, the Magid Mishnah thinks this is a mistake in the Rambam. And he says, it's not true. If it's a regular Avera, and you do it B'shogeg, there's no liability at all. The Rambam is impossible, right? It can't be that the Rambam thinks that it's sinful to do a Isra Lav by accident. Because if there were, there would be Karbanos, like the Ravid notes. The Kesef Mishnah Kasav, the Kesef Mishnah defends the Rambam. And he says, V'linir liyashev, d'achi gamar, v'chem v'chavi lavin, avar alav, k'din mishlo hasar rosh, avu b'shina loka, hu adon chayv l'shamayim, v'chem b'shnios. Kesef Mishnah says, what are you talking about? If you violate a regular sin by accident, so you're right, there's no karban, there's no malchus, but God will hold you to task. And Lefianis died, the Kesef Mishnah is right, because the Rambam says it explicitly, and first of all, he says explicitly here, right? I mean, it's always a bad sign. The Magid Mishnah says the Rambam can't say it, therefore I will erase what the Rambam actually said, right? But the Rambam is, there's no two ways about it. This Rambam says, if you do a sin by accident, your God punishes you. There's punishment. The Rambam in Hilchos Shkagos, Perkei Halacha Vav, says, if you do a sin by accident, God is angry at you. That's what it is. Because you could have been more careful. Mashum, the first one, is a Rambam, the Kamod, Mizazik, V'chalav, and Varai, is Chayav Chata Shekei Nen. So the Kesef Mishnah makes it sound like, just like by Erva, you would actually be chayev a karban. You'd actually be chayev if you did even by accident. Kain chayev kapara misasik b'lav mishnias darayas. It sounds like with any sin, even maybe misasik, misasik of other sexual sins, I mean not the capital ones, you would have some liability. Of misasik b'shari shirim lor min shik b'hen shikain nena patr mi kapara af b'shibishigas lav tzarech kapara. So the Kesef Mishnah sounds like the Rambam's hierarchy is like this. If you violate one of the capital sexual crimes, even misasik, meaning you totally didn't mean it, you're chayav a karbon because of unique halacha by sexual sins. If you totally don't mean to have the lower level sexual sins, still, you don't have a karbon, but you still need kapara in heaven. A regular run-of-the-mill sin, you do it b'misasik, right? Let me avoid eating sins, right?
Shabbos.
Well, yeah, Shabbos is... I always want a normal lav, right? You plow your field with a... shor v'chamor yachda, right? Whatever. Take your pick. So you do that misasik. You didn't even realize what you were doing, right? You were walking, right? And you didn't realize that, you had a... you thought you put on your knapsack. You didn't realize that on the knapsack, right? Your kid had been playing around and tied two strings to the back of your knapsack, one around the neck of the donkey and one around the neck of the ox, and you start walking and mamela, right? Whatever, I don't know, come up with it. In that case, you don't need any forgiveness at all. But if the implication is, if it's a regular shogeg, meaning it's not an ones, it's not a misasik, it's a shogeg, right? So then, even a regular run-of-the-mill sin, you would need forgiveness. So, what the Daf HaLadaf notes is that the Magid Mishnah can't accept this. The Magid Mishnah says it's crazy, right? If you did something by accident, either there's punishment or you're innocent. So, by Yisrei Kares, we know that there's a karban. It must be that you did something wrong. But a regular sin, there's no punishment. It must be that God is happy with you, even in heaven. And the Kesef Mishnah is Medayik in the Rambam. That's unfair. Magid Mishnah and the Kesef Mishnah are both Medayik in the Rambam, that the Rambam disagrees and says, no, every sin you do, if you do it by accident, so God will take it up with you. Presumably, as Rav Lichtenstein noted, based on the Rambam and Hilchos Shavuos, because you were flippant. Right? The only difference between the Kesef Mishnah and the Magid Mishnah is that the Magid Mishnah can't accept this, so he erases it. The Kesef Mishnah takes the Rambam as is. Now, I don't want to get too much into this. And then he notes that really this is the machlok is the Ramban and the Rambam, right? He notes the Ramban at the end, which is the Ramban I mentioned before, who says that when you violate a sin by accident, ain't sar kapara klal, you don't need any forgiveness. Now, the only question that's hanging in the air, which I'll address very briefly, which is, okay, but why are Yisurei Kares and Yisurei Misa different? Right? Right? According to the Ramban, according to the Hagos Maimoni, sorry, the Magen Mishnah rather, who say that for a run-of-the-mill sin, if you do it by accident, you don't need forgiveness at all, so then why suddenly do I need a karban when it comes to Yisurei Kares? So the Ramban answered the question. The Ramban said, no. Even by Yisurei Kares, the karban isn't a punishment. It's just that God grants you a fix because there's an objective, metaphysical effect on your soul when you violate super Yisurim. And therefore, God gives you a way of cleansing it. Now, why would you say this? So, Rabbi Bednarz once suggested that maybe what the Ramban is really getting at is that Yisurei Kares, you might have to say that for the Ramban, Yisurei Kares have metaphysical reality, and Yisurei Lav don't. The Yisurei Lav are just, so to speak, Chiyuvei Gafra, right? It's, we tell you to do it, right? God wants you to do certain things. If you do it on purpose, so you violated God's will. If you didn't do it on purpose, so, I can't say that you were, right? It wasn't spiritual poison, it was just an instruction. If you violate it willingly, so it's amazing. If you don't violate it willingly, so you made a mistake. Right, but the Yisurei Kares may be more than just
Bashoke.
What?
The Ramban would say Bashoke.
So the Ramban would say, look, you're never guilty, right. Bashamayim.
Right,
that's what the Ramban says. You're not guilty. Okay. Right? Now his raya for this was the Ravid has this weird position that the Gemara in Avodah Zarah Samach Dalid has a three machlokas about what mitzvos the a ger toshav has to keep, and one of the positions of the Gemara is a ger toshav keeps all mitzvos except for nevela, because the pasuk says that nevela you give to the ger. So most rishonim say that it means literally that a ger toshav keeps 612 mitzvos. It's just gzeiras hakasuv that a ger toshav doesn't can eat nevela. The Ravid says that no, it means that gerei toshav keep all isurei kares and misa and no isurei lav. Right, so Rabbi Bednarz said is, why would that be true, right? What's the logic of that distinction? So he said, maybe what you learn from the Ravid and from the Ramban is that there are two types of mitzvahs in this world, right? The Yisurei Kares and Misa are spiritual poison, meaning God commanded them because they reflect the metaphysical reality about the world. These are bad. And therefore, if a ger toshav wants to become close to Judaism, even though he's not a Jew, the first thing to do is to avoid the things that are objectively bad, regardless of whether you commanded them or not. The Yisurei Lav are a code of ethics for people who buy into the system, right? So a non-Jew, is even if he's close to you, there's nothing wrong with eating not kosher. It's just that if you're Jewish, you have to follow the rules, right? It's not morally wrong. But whatever, that's sort of,
What did that metaphysical make fit in, because you also have Nazir, you have when a woman gives birth. They have all these other areas where you give a korban chatat.
I mean, look, they're all, those might be different. The Gemara tries to find sins, but you're right. There are indications that the Torah isn't only giving you instructions. It's sometimes channeling some sort of spiritual reality to the world, and it's giving you ways of reacting to it, right? There is much to advise that position. Okay.
I'll say other point on the chatat also, because when they had the Mishnah, they gave a chatas too. For what? Right? It wasn't necessarily negative, it was positive.
Yeah.
Chatas is not always...
Yeah, I mean, but again, what type of chatas, right?
Chatas versus...
Right.
Yeah. Okay. So, that's one mini issue I wanted to deal with. The next...
That's a mini issue.
Well, I mean, it's relatively mini. I don't know. The next one is even minier. It really is mini. I mean, each thing is, minier than the next. So the next Gemara, the Gemara continues. The Gemara says, Turmusai mikater raglein de sanein shel Yisrael. It's a type of a legume. Rashi says it's something sort of like a lentil. I don't know exactly what it is. What do they translate it as? They have a
fan. It's a round, bitter tasting bean.
Yeah, okay, they just say the same thing, right? Yeah, turmos, whatever it is. It Mikatera Glen Shoshone Israel, right? Why?
Sounds like the Simon in Rosh
Hashanah. Yeah. He says, Shinem, Marvay Siv ben Israel, Lasosa Rabbe Nea Shem, Vavdu it about Limin Ashtarod, Ve Ale Aram, Ve Ale Tzidon, Ve, sorry, Elohe, Aram, Ve Elohe Tzidon, Ve Elohe Moav, Ve Elohe Bnei Amon, Ve Elohe Plishtim, Ve Yazvu, Ve Hashem, Ve Avdu. Right, so in Shoftim, the Jews worship all the foreign gods. Mimashma Shinem, Marvay Yazvu, Ve Hashem, Eino De Shelo Avdu. The Gemara says, why do you need to tell me they left God and they didn't serve him? Umatam and Lomer Vlo Avdu. If they left God, they didn't serve him, right? What are you adding? So Amar Rabbi Elazar, Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, Afilu Keturbos Azesh Shoklanu Zeshev Pamim Ochlanu So Bikinuach Zuda Lo Asuni Bini. Right. This turmos, 7 times in, right? You keep cooking, it eventually becomes sweet. Right? It's bitter. It's bitter. It's bitter. If you cook it 7 times, it becomes sweet. And the Jews worshipped Avodah Zarah 7 times, and they still don't become sweet. And therefore, the Turmus, right, Sonei Anshei Yisrael is Lashon Sakin Aris euphemistic, right, the Jews themselves, that the Turmus becomes sweet after 7 rounds of bitterness. And you worshipped 7 different Avodah Zarahs, and still, the 8th round, you aren't ready, or whatever, the 7th round, whatever it is exactly, right, after 7 rounds, right, you didn't say, okay, we're done with the bitterness, now we're going to serve God. You still didn't worship him. Oh, that's how bad you are. Okay. And Amar Rabbi, Tanim Yishmeder Rabbi Meir, Mibnei Manat Natar Yisrael. So in this context, Gemara says, so why was the Torah given to the Jewish people? Mibnei Shein Azin. Because they are brazen. And Tanim Debeir Yishmael, Mimino Eishdaz Lamo. From his right hand is his fiery law. Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, Ru'uyin Halalu Shitinasan Lem Das Eish. The Jews are worthy of getting this law of fire. And Ika Da Amri Dasam Shalelu Eish, or their law is fire. Why? She'il Malay Nat Naturally Israel, Ain Kal Umma Valashin Chol Lamod Bifnehem. If the Torah hadn't been given to the Jewish people, no one could stand up to them. Mahayu Damar Bashim Ben Lakish, Shlosha Azen Hain. There are 3 things in the world which are brazen. Yisrael, Ba'umos, the Jews, the most brazen of the people. Kelev b'chayos, the dog is the most brazen of the animals. Tarnagol b'ofos, and the chick, the rooster amongst the birds. The Asian af'az b'mehim adaka, af'ez b'mehim adaka, and some say even the goat amongst the small animals. The Asian af'tzlaf b'ilanos, and some say even the caper bush amongst trees. Okay. There are many different agadic things to unpack there, but I just want to focus on one, which is, what does it mean that the Jews are az, right? That we are brazen. So you have basically 2 positions. Rashi says that it's a negative, right? Rashi takes the simple read of the Gemara, I think, right? Which is, the Gemara is saying, look, the Jews are so hard, right? They were particularly hard, so God needed to give them the Torah, because if they weren't constrained by the Torah, it would have been an utter disaster, right? Bad enough, right? The Jews, even with the Torah, they worship Avodah Zarah, but they're just internally brazen. You needed Torah. So Rashi says, "V'naslam Torah sheyaskuba v'mateshes koam u'machnias libam." It weakens their strength. It somewhat, at least, humbles their heart. Right, the Jews are naturally brazen, as we know. Even with the Torah, we sin. So God gave us the Torah so we'd have hope. Right, that was what it was. Now, the Meiri here, I didn't give it to you, but the Meiri here invokes his favorite svara in the entire world. Right, the Meiri says in like 140 places, that when the Gemara says that we treat, talks about Akum, and all the negative things we say about Akum, right, about Ovdei Chacham Mazal, it only means barbarians. But not what he calls non-Jews who are Gidurim Begeder Hadatot, who are religious, right? Religious, civilized people are, right, even non-Jews, the Meiri says, are closer to the level of a Jew. This is like Meiri's favorite thing in the entire universe. But in this Gemara, he invokes that same thing to say as follows, that the Chachmei HaMusar, Ba'avodat ha'adama yitaken adam eretz melechav ha'olidavitz michav yestev is mishver darchei adad. That hard work, right, the ethicists say that hard work, right, working the field will help you be a good person, right? When you hard work is good for you ethically. V'hu amram, and he says, and on that same line, God said, Lama ninda Torah li Yisrael b'mnei shem azim. Why did God give the Torah to the Jews? Because they're brazen. Ratza lomar utzrichim l'geder hadatot. Right? What he's saying is, the rest of the world isn't as brazen as us. And therefore, they can become gdurim l'geder hadatot. They can become civilized simply by being civilized. But the Jews were naturally so uncivilized that if we didn't have the Torah, we would never be gdurim l'geder hadatot. And therefore, Mashem Ruim Shinazan Lem Eish Dashalesha. What does it mean that we had to get a fiery Torah, fiery law? Ratzlomer Chazaka Bigdarim Meruba Ba'o Mitzvos Lerova Shiloh Hashem B'del Cham. We needed the yoke, the heavy yoke of Torah, right? So the Meiri invokes, right? So the Meiri flips it, right? The Meiri says, normally he says that any non Jew who has basic religion, basic civility, is in a middle level between Jew and idol worshiper. It's basically we treat him much more like a Jew. But now he says, once he has this notion that being civilized is enough to make you a halachically recognized, significant person, he used that idea here. He says, like Rashi. Yeah, and we are naturally the most barbaric, right, of people. That's why we needed the Torah, because we needed extra laws to make us gadur begeder hadatot. Okay, fine. That's the negative. Many of the Achronim really don't like this idea. And they say, no, it's a positive. I mean, let's be honest. The simple reason of Gemara is like Rashi or Meiri or something, that it's negative, right? We were brazen, and therefore we needed a Torah. But it might be positive or might also be positive, right? It might cut both ways, right? Being brazen and being strong-willed is sometimes negative and sometimes positive. So Maritz Chiyus, for example, takes as a positive, and he says, Heim Azim, Ruyim L'Kabbalas HaTorah. No! It's true. Sometimes our brazenness means we sin. But fundamentally, our brazen nature, our strong-willed nature, is what allows us to have the Torah. Ki b'chol ha'gzeres ha'sha'avru al roshan lo avzu chevel nachalas chevel nachlasam v'goralam mi-Sinai. Because everybody else, any other nation, if they had suffered as much as the Jews had for 2,000 years, they would have given it all up. Right? But there's a good side to our Azus, that we could be the chosen nation and be persecuted for having the Torah, and we'll still get through it. Right? So, again, I don't know if these are mutually exclusive. It could be that it's both. Right? There's a positive and a negative. But at any rate, Rashi and the Meiri focus on the negative, right? That the Jews are naturally in need of taming, and therefore we got the Torah, and the Maariv Chiyus focuses on the positive, that no, we can survive the challenges of being the Torah nation because we have an inner strength. And then I gave you here in the Daf HaLadaf, he quotes from Shlomo Gansfried, right, the author of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, but in a different Sefer of his, which I'd never heard of, the Apiryon. Sefer Apiryon al HaTorah, on the pasuk of Ayichan Sham Yisrael Neged Ahar. And he writes as follows, Yesh Lomar Apiha Ha'di Yisab Gemara Shlosha Asim Heim. And the Gemara says there are three brazen people. Yisrael B'umos V'omolei Torah V'chulei Harei Ki HaTorah Machnat Yisraeli U'mishaberet Azuto. Right, what the Gemara is getting at is that the Torah breaks the brazenness of the Jew. U'muvan Ki Al Yidei Zeh Yishalom Beinehem. Right, he said, brazen people, strong-willed people, often get into fights. So you would expect Jews to always fight, which we do, right? But he says, why is it that at the Har Sinai, suddenly the Midrash says, "Vayichan sham Yisrael neged ahar ki ish echad b'lev echad"? Because if what the Torah does to us is it calms down our naturally, you know, aggressive personalities, then at that moment, right, the Torah began the process of the Jews having relative peace. Because if the Jews hadn't been tamed by the Torah, right, everyone would have their own opinion, they'd be fighting. But the Torah is meant to calm down our haughtiness. And And the Shevet Yisrael translate the pasuk in Tehillim. Right? If it weren't for if the Torah wasn't my plaything, I would have been lost. Why? Ki adua asher tachanunim yidaber rash v'ashir yane azot harikani yuri trufa la'atisha azot. Right? I would have been because poverty comes from brazenness, and therefore he says, if I didn't have Torah, I would have been lost in poverty. Right? Because I would have been brazen. Ki v'gam atari trufa la'zeh v'zeh shekos v'lulei torat chashashu az iti nitzar chas v'shom la'aniyaz, I would need poverty. Right? He said there's two ways of taking away someone's arrogance. Torah or poverty, right? Impoverishing them, taking away their social status. Eventually, that might humble somebody. The Jews needed humbling, so we got the Torah instead. And then the next pasuk says, "Vanochi amarti yishlomer b'zeh pasuk Hashem oz lamo yitein Hashem v'rech lamo v'shalom." Kinei midat tova betolder adam matar elokimi k'mash kazev goelas. Any good thing that human beings have is from God. Avol midem eguna he griusalo, but a bad midah is bad. Yisrael called the matan Torah shaya behem midas azud nechsham lev griusa. Right, so then he says that maybe it's both. Right, maybe it's both, good and bad. Before we had the Torah, untamed brazenness is definitely bad. But once you have the Torah, you need to channel the brazenness in a different way. Yehuda ben Tema, they azkan emer. Right, like Yehuda ben Tema says in the Mishnah, be it as brazen as a leopard to keep the Torah. Hashem owes lamo yitain. Skip that. So what does it mean? Hashem owes lamo yitain. Klomar me ata midas aduz Hashem Yisrael Yisrael gishapech lam lamida tova veichashem lahem lamatana meis Hashem shetrichen lamidazu lekiyum haTorah. That once God gave us the Torah, the brazenness became a good thing. Right before that, we were brazen before, but once we had the Torah, it was as if God gave us the good brazenness because once He tamed it, we could channel it for Torah rather than for fighting and for arrogance and for haughtiness, and it won't cause v'lo yigrom lahem midazu peirud machlokes chas v'shalom. It won't cause to fighting. Adarama yishtamish midazu l'kimat Torah v'shem yivarech zamu b'shalom. So what you have is really three positions, right? Either the Jews' azus is bad, or the Jews' azus is good, or I think probably Shlomo Gansfried is right. The Gemara is trying to get at both. It's good and bad, right? Totally untamed, strong will. Nature is dangerous. It'll cause fighting and arrogance and terrible things. But properly channeled strength of will is necessary. It turns into fortitude. And what the Gemara is saying, yes, the Jews at some level are naturally brazen. That's why we need a Torah to keep us in check. But it's also what allows us to keep the Torah. It allows us to survive life, even though we've been a persecuted people. I won't read the next paragraph, but he then notes that it's actually quite telling that Reish Lakish makes this statement. Because Reish Lakish, in his story with Rabbi Yochanan, right, Reish Lakish started as a robber, and when he was a robber, the Gemara says he could jump over the whole river in one shot. Then he started learning Torah, and he couldn't do it. And Rabbi Yochanan, and he asked Rabbi Yochanan, why not? And he says, because now, right, Torah Batesh is Kochan Sheisrael, now you're learning Torah, your strength is going to Torah and not to thievery. So it's actually perfect that Reish Lakish is the one who notes the dichotomy of Torah, of Azus, right? If you don't have Torah, then Azus is bad because you use that strength to jump over a river to rob someone. But once you have Torah, the Azus will be rechanneled away from the negative into the positive, and therefore it's perfect.
Today it's like about Shuvahs, where nice and skinny, as soon as they become Belchuvahs, they gain at least 10 feet, 20 pounds.
I'm not sure
but anyways, but he notes that right that this that it really is quite perfect, right? Because Reish Lakish is the personality who really epitomized that, right? That he was particularly strong before Torah, and once he had Torah, right, he just connects it to it. I'm adding the spin. Right, he just notes that Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan fit this. I'm adding the spin to it, but
okay, but even the way it's explained, it is a positive. In other words, the way that the Gemara is saying it.
Correct. And that's why I think it's probably right, that it's a negative and a positive, right? If left untamed, it could be negative. Once you have the
right,
Torah.
But he's saying, okay, but that's what the Gemara is talking about. The Torah was given to us so that this.
Well, that's why I think that Rashi and Marat's case are not mutually exclusive. I mean, Rashi is saying what existed before the Torah? Unbridled aggressiveness. What exists after the Torah? Channeled fortitude. Right? It's both, meaning...
The story of Rav Yochanan and Rav Lakish in terms of...
It's a good way of seeing both sides of it, right? That's the...
But there was a lot of aggressiveness between...
Oh, for sure, and, you know... My guess is that, yes, the simple shot is that it's partially negative, right? Meaning, before that we were negative, but I don't think that precludes it also being positive. Meaning, that's really what Shlomo Gansfried is really saying, is that the Gemara is giving you both at the same time. It's saying the Jews in their natural, unbridled state are a dangerous commodity,
right?
That's why we needed the Torah. We were too strong-willed. But once we have the Torah and we use that quality in service of the Torah, it rechannels us, then it becomes not just a neutral, it becomes positive. Right.
But what Rashi's saying is negative. Rashi is saying that we need the Torah to wear us down so that we can't use our...
Correct, but you could...
Using it in a positive, that's saying we need the Torah to focus our brazenness.
Right. I mean, look, you could try to fit it into Rashi. I think it might not be what Rashi means, right? Rashi may mean it's purely negatively, but I don't think you... I think you don't have to take it purely positively or negatively. As Shlomo Gansfried said, you can take it in both ways. I'll just note, just quickly, the last point here is that the Maharal, in Nitiv HaBush, I just gave you a summary of it, notes that it's a bit contradictory, because the Gemara in Yevamos says that Jews are known for being Baishanim. Right? Shame-faced, right? Which is whatever exactly shame-faced means, or, you know, lowly of spirit.
One of the things that saved the
Jews. But it's the opposite of Azus,
right?
So he says, how can you be both? So he says there's two types of busha, right? One busha is people who are just like, you know, self-deprecating, right? They just, you know, they always think lowly of themselves. So he said, that's not positive. Then there are people who have proper busha in front of someone who's greater than them, right? They recognize them in the presence of greatness, and they don't act haughtily. And he says, the Jews, right, we're not self-deprecating. We're not self-deprecating people. Our quality is that we're able to be mitbayesh before God, right? Before greater beings, right? And that's not contradictory. Right. Well, that's, which is, you know, just sort of a meta point by the Maharal.
Talks about, you know, what were the leaders that saved the Jews? It's telling them were Mishvayish, right? One of the things.
That's what that's
they never said because they're Azis, right? Never that, you know, so I'm just...
Correct, and that's why, but look, it's a dichotomy. But anyways, like I said, this would be a small thing, but again, I think those are the three perspectives. Rashi does seem to take it more negatively, Marski is positively, but I think the truth is somewhere where the Shlomo Gansfried, that the Gemara is saying, yes, naturally we are negative and therefore we need Torah because we're brazen, but that doesn't mean it remained that way, right? And he's right. The Mishnah says, Heve az kanemer, right? Be brazen like a leopard to serve God, because that's the point, right? Every quality in life can be used positively and negatively. We have a particularly heavy dose of azus in our blood, which means that we need it to be reined in, but once we're reined in and we channel that azus, so then it becomes not a neutral, it becomes a super positive. And that's really his analysis. Okay, well...
Is a dog viewed as positive?
What?
Is a dog that says that a dog...
Not necessarily, because it may not have the redeeming type of houses. I don't know.